Authorities in Georgia are prosecuting a rare case in this country of female circumcision. An Ethiopian immigrant is charged with performing the procedure on his daughter. The case has raised concerns that the practice, also known as female genital mutilation, is happening more than previously believed in some immigrant communities. A caution to listeners, this story from NPR's Ari Shapiro contains some graphic descriptions.
Fortunate Adam had never heard of female circumcision until her Ethiopian husband said that he wanted the procedure performed on their 3-year-old daughter.
He actually came out and told me that in his culture, there is a tradition that girls have to go through, and it's circumcision. And he made it seem like it was kind of like circumcising a boy.
It is not like circumcising a boy. Female circumcision is also called female genital mutilation, or FGM. It can range from cutting off the clitoris to removing all of the external female genitalia and sewing the vagina nearly shut.
And when I found out just how gruesome it was, you know, I could not believe that he would want to inflict such pain on his own child.
Adam now believes her husband had already circumcised their daughter when he first mentioned it to her. It wasn't until months later, during their divorce, that a pediatrician confirmed Adam's fears. Someone here in Georgia had cut off her daughter's clitoris. The girl's father is now on trial for aggravated child molestation, but community activists like Miriam Egal fear that the Adam case is not an isolated incident. Egal believes immigrants to the U.S. from some African countries continue to practice female genital mutilation here in the United States.
And I cannot say that I know so-and-so did it, but I know that they do it, and of course they are not going to volunteer and tell you that they did it, but I'm sure that they are doing it.
Egal is from Somalia, where FGM is common. She's been in the U.S. for years. Egal says state and federal laws prohibiting the practice here keep people in her community from talking openly about it. But she still hears from some immigrant mothers who consider it a crucial rite of passage for their daughters.
You know, like some of the Christian people who are religious here, they have to baptize their child. And if they don't do it, how would they feel? It's something like that, you know, and some people have very strong beliefs that it should be done.
Some communities that practice FGM say they do so for religious reasons. But Taina Bieneme, executive director of the human rights group Equality Now, says those justifications are a smokescreen.
It is not related to any religious text, although certain Muslim communities will say that it is mandated by the Quran. Some Christian communities believe that it is mandated in the Bible. That is not the case. It is practiced by Jews in Ethiopia, by animists in various communities. It really transcends religion.
Bieneme says the real object of female genital mutilation is to suppress women's sexuality. The impact can be severe. Women who've been mutilated have a higher risk of infections, pain during sex, and childbirth problems. A 1997 study by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said that more than 160,000 women and girls in the U.S. are at risk for genital cutting. Catherine Yunt is concerned that there's little solid research on the subject. She teaches international health at Emory University's School of Public Health and says it's hard to know whether immigrants generally bring the practice with them or leave it behind in their home countries.
Certainly there are very large immigrant communities that originate from societies in which the practice is quite prevalent. Oftentimes, though, these immigrants are not necessarily representative of their communities, so to make a statement about whether or not the prevalence is the same in immigrant communities would be a bit of a stretch.
Fasil Chernet is ready to make a statement about the prevalence of FGM in his community. He's program director for the Ethiopian Community Association in Atlanta, and he says if it were happening here, he would have heard about it.
It has passed that stage whereby majority of the people think that it is the appropriate thing to do. So it's a dying habit, I would say.
Chernet has 5 sisters. All were born in Ethiopia. None was circumcised.
If it is a problem, we'll definitely respond to it. Or even if we anticipate that it's coming, we'll act being proactive to that. But what I'm saying is other priorities are here, like mental health, making people employable and helping them adjust in a new environment. But the problem of genital mutilation doesn't exist in our community.
Chernet and others agree that it will be impossible to design any sort of an intervention in the U.S. without research to show what exactly is taking place in immigrant communities. But even without a formal intervention program, there are signs that the message is getting out.
I know some who used to practice back home, and for their safety or getting in trouble of law in the United States, they're not willing to do it.
Asha Ali is a Somali woman living in Atlanta. She says her elders may disapprove, but she and her husband have decided not to cut their daughter.
Yeah, I believe circumcision is a torture, and I don't believe anyone deserves this. And what I went through, I don't want my daughter to go through.
Ari Shapiro, NPR News, Atlanta.